This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here with Nick Whalen. We are with rotowire.com. Big day today. We've got James Cook ending his hold-in, signing a contract extension with the Buffalo Bills. We're going to do a lot of baseball talk, three big baseball storylines to cover, including the white-hot Milwaukee Brewers. The Seattle Mariners keep on winning, and the Padres have caught the Dodgers. We got Play It or Pass It NFL style coming up. We're going to preview the BMW with Len Hochberg from RotoWire, and then we're going to break down today's baseball slate as well. A lot of day games. We'll get you caught up on the progress of those. A number of them starting up here in the 11 a.m. Best Coast hour. That's West Coast for those, the uninitiated there. A lot of games starting up in this hour of the show, so we'll get you live updates on those games as well. Nick, let's start off in Buffalo. Good news for James Cook. Good news for his fantasy owners, for Bills fans. The hold-in is over. He has agreed to his contract extension.
Yes, good news for the fantasy owners in particular, Jeff. Myself included, took him in round four of an important draft last night. And yeah, you had the feeling that something was going to get done with James Cook, whether that was a contract, which we ultimately saw, four for 48, $30 million guaranteed, or, you know, James Cook himself, you know, backing down from those contract demands. But, you know, it's an interesting decision, certainly by the Buffalo Bills, a team that does not have a long history of paying running backs. But I think they recognize, you know, as much as we like Ray Davis, as much as we like Ty Johnson, these guys are ultimately secondary options. And, you know, we have a window right now to contend for a Super Bowl. We like our roster, and we need to get over the hump. We don't think we can do that without James Cook. So again, four for 48 for James Cook, $30 million guaranteed, you know, in that same ballpark as the contract that the Rams gave Kyren Williams a couple of weeks ago, which I think was always a pretty reasonable blueprint if you're James Cook for what you should expect. Cook, of course, was back on the practice field yesterday, should be good to go now going forward. And, you know, again, to look at this from a fantasy perspective, we had seen James Cook drop and drop amid these contract concerns over the last couple of weeks. You know, guys like Omarion Hampton, even Travion Henderson were starting to go ahead of him. I would expect that trend now to reverse, even if we expect some touchdown regression from James Cook this season.
Yeah, I agree. And I think we absolutely will see some touchdown regression, especially because now they've got him. They've got an investment in James Cook and a reason to keep him healthy. Right. So maybe you get a little bit more Ray Davis on the goal line there because of that. There, the between the tackles sort of plays. Let Cook cook on the outside. Let Davis do the inside work. I could see that happening.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they have options. And like you said, now you're looking at, you know, more than a 1 year, you know, let's just burn this guy out type of window, which you do see with some teams around the NFL when they know that second contract is not going to be handed out to a running back. But, you know, something you brought up on our SiriusXM show earlier today, I think is an interesting point as well, which is I think we've officially now seen the resurgence of value for the running back position, right? It's not just James Cook. It's Saquon Barkley. It's Kyren Williams. It's Derrick Henry all getting extensions this offseason. Guys like Chuba Hubbard, Alvin Kamara, you know, getting extensions in season last year. You know, there was a while there where it felt like, man, the running back position is being so devalued. You know, teams aren't taking running backs in round one. They're just happy to burn a day two or a day three pick, make the best at the position. But I think last year specifically really hammered it home that, man, having one of those elite or even borderline elite running backs is such a huge difference maker.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's still nowhere near like the elite running wide receiver contracts and all that. Contrast like Jamar Chase's contract with right. The top running back contracts. It's not even close. And Cook is not on that, even on the top level there. He's a second tier level as far as that goes. He's less than a Barkley, less than a Henry still, but yeah, nonetheless, it's nice to see some valuation there. I think back to like Lev Bell, Melvin Gordon, Wisconsin's own Melvin Gordon and his holdout and all that. That was kind of like, oh, we're in holdout season all over again there. For a while, you know, running backs were getting paid. And then Todd Gurley, I think, started a chain of devaluing the running backs. But the game has changed a little bit where we have a good class of running backs. Plus, the game is a little bit different now that running backs are running against lighter boxes as teams are more determined to stop the big splash play on the passing plays instead. So you get a little bit more success running the ball. All right. One final note on Cook, his over under on rush yards, 950.5. That's pretty much straight across the board. Over under on James Cook, 950.5 rushing yards.
950 and a half. Man, that is an interesting number, you know, because normally you see these numbers come in quite a bit lower than the previous year's total. And you look at it, you're like, how could he possibly go under? Right. And then you're like, oh yeah, injuries. That's going to be a big part of every NFL season. But this is only like 60 yards short of where he finished last year. You know, did have over 1,100 yards two seasons ago. I think I would lean under on that, to be honest. You know, I think he's probably right around that range. But you know, we did start to see last year, despite James Cook putting up 16 rushing touchdowns, had a ton of opportunities in the red zone. You know, quietly, they did still scale back his overall workload. You know, we did see more Ray Davis than we did the previous season. And, you know, Ty Johnson mixing in on passing downs. And as you laid out with the new contract, I don't think that necessarily changes, right? I think for the Bills, you're in this mode, especially with an easy schedule, where you want to, obviously, you want to win your division. You want to win as many games as you can. But goal number one is make it to the postseason as healthy as possible. Make it through unscathed. And that's really when you make your hay, right? Like they're in that zone where it's kind of Super Bowl or bust. You know, winning 13 games, winning the division again doesn't really move the needle. Like you got to at least make it to the Super Bowl. And I think preserving James Cook throughout the regular season is a part of that process.
Indeed. Let's pivot over to baseball. The Mariners won their 8th in a row. They're 10-1 since the trade deadline. They beat the Orioles last night. Big pitching duel, George Kirby against Dean Kramer. I got some props wrong on that one there just because I thought that Kramer would be hit a little bit harder. He wasn't. But still, the Mariners, they're rolling. 10-1 since the trade deadline. Combined with the Astros losing the Red Sox, they're tied now in the AL West.
They certainly are, and we've seen a shift in, you know, the to win the American League odds as well, Jeff, over at the DK Sportsbook. The Mariners now your favorite at +360. Toronto, which got a big win over the Cubs last night, they're still sitting there at 4-1. Astros also 4-1. Detroit also 4-1. The New York Yankees are 5-1, Jeff. I don't know if I love that with how the Yankees have been playing lately. You know, Boston sitting there at 10-1, but this feels like a total toss-up to me, right? In the National League, despite the Milwaukee Brewers, who we'll talk about in a moment, just never losing baseball games, like they're still third in the odds, you know, catching up to the Philadelphia Phillies. Right. But the LA Dodgers, who lost again last night, are still the prohibitive favorites. You don't really have that team right now in the American League. You know, it was, you know, kind of felt like it was Detroit over the first half of the season. Now Toronto's the hot team. Seattle is right there. This thing feels totally, totally wide open. Do you have a favorite among those four teams that are basically sitting there at 4-1?
I don't. And I think that's just the point. You know, it's just right. Teams are taking their turn as the hot team of the moment there. I think the Mariners are well equipped, but it's, you know, especially because usually their offense clicks on the road and their pitching clicks at home. It's an interesting combo there, but you know, I think we're overlooking the Blue Jays a little bit. And I kind of had a note on that there when we start talking in the today's slate where they play against the Cubs. But, you know, and I was looking at World Series odds because I think it's noteworthy that the Mariners have the shortest odds among American League teams on average, but it's not by a lot. The Mariners, the Blue Jays, the Tigers, the Astros, and the Yankees are all right there together. The one team of that group that I will fade, I think, is the Tigers, because I don't trust their starting pitching. And it's easy for me to say that now because they're playing poorly right now. I want to avoid recency bias, and yet that's the team that I trust the least among those teams out there.
I think that's fair. And yeah, obviously you got the ace in Skubal, but other than that, yeah, I think some questions in that rotation. I mean, interestingly enough, you know, the Mariners are slight favorites to win the American League, but Seattle, Houston, Detroit, all 9-1 to win the World Series. Toronto, slightly further back at 10-1. Milwaukee sitting at 9-1. Jeff, I'm dangerously close to starting to believe that could be, you know, a World Series type of ceiling team.
Yeah, and World Series odds are another one where, hey, shop around a little bit there. Like, for instance, yes, Toronto is tied. You know, you can get 12-1 for the Blue Jays at FanDuel. Same price as the Tigers and the Yankees. The Yankees, I don't know. I don't understand why. The Yankees, I do understand. I understand why. It's because of Judge. It's because they have the star power. And you have the New York betting market, which is going to keep that price a little lower than it probably should be. I think the Yankees are more closer to being at 15-1 than they are 12-1 or 10-1, something of that nature there. All this, I know Michael Cohen's really unhappy hearing us, our producer, he's a big Yankees guy, hearing us besmirch his precious Yankees a little bit there. But let's talk about your Brewers, a happier topic there. Will they ever lose again? They destroyed Paul Skeens yesterday.
I don't think they're ever losing again, Jeff. This could go 30, 40, 50 games, might even go into next season at this point. I mean, the Brewers are just cooking at an unbelievable rate right now. Second 11-game win streak this season. They're going for 12 this afternoon against the Pirates. And, you know, when this started getting up to like 7-8 games, you're looking ahead and like, all right, where would be the trip up spot? And the obvious one was last night with Paul Skeens on the hill. And it just didn't matter, man. You know, chased him after four innings. It's the second time now they faced Skeens in the last couple of months and gotten after him. Sal Frelick leads off the game with a homer. Bryce Terang also homered off of Paul Skeens. Later in the game, Brewers broke it open with six runs in the sixth inning. Now 20-4 since the All-Star break, up 7.5 on the Chicago Cubs. 26-4, Jeff, in their last 30 games. 54-16 in the last 70.
Just giddy seeing that there if you're a fan there. I just love the stretches like that. Did you know RotoWire has a brand new look and even better fantasy football draft tools for the 2025 season? Whether you're using the Draft Assistant to get real-time insights as you draft, customizing your own strategy with the Draft Plan Creator, or testing scenarios with the powerful Draft Simulator, RotoWire gives you everything you need to draft with confidence. And right now, VSiN followers get an exclusive offer. Head to rotowire.com, enter promo code VSiN at checkout, and get 15% off any RotoWire product. That's rotowire.com, promo code VSiN. We're going to play a little Play It or Pass It with NFL props coming up next. This is Prop Points here on VSiN.
Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here with Nick Whalen. We are with rotowire.com. Time for us to play another edition of Play It or Pass It, where we discuss carefully curated props from producer Michael Cohen, and we decide whether to play it or pass it. Let's jump on and talk, and these are all going to be NFL props today that we're going to hit up. Let's jump on and talk a little Baker Mayfield. Over 3,800.5 passing yards, minus 120. He's hit this number easily over the last two seasons, Nick. Play it or pass it this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jeff, this is going to come down to whether or not Baker Mayfield stays healthy, because like you said, he's gone well over, you know, over 4,000 yards each of the last 2 years, exactly 4,500 a year ago, which was good for third in the NFL. Should have no trouble repeating that in my mind. If he does stay healthy, if he misses more than a game or two, might get a little bit dicey, but I think there's a very good chance that this Buccaneers offense picks up where it left off last season. You know, obviously you have a new offensive coordinator, Liam Cohen, now in Jacksonville, but they promoted internally. They went with Josh Grizzard to step in as the OC. And in theory, I think that means that we won't see too much in terms of changes. You know, you have probably Bucky Irving in a more prominent role to begin the year, maybe a little more emphasis on that running game, but Bucky Irving also an excellent pass catcher. You still have Rashad White, who's a great pass catching back. So that's a part of the equation when it comes to that yardage total. Really though, you know, if you have any concerns post Liam Cohen, I think those should be assuaged by the fact that the Buccaneers maybe have the most depth of any receiver core in the NFL. You know, there might be a better 1-2-3 out there. There's probably a couple better 1-2s. But Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Emeka Ibuka, Jalen McMillan, there is a ton of depth for the Buccaneers. I mean, they survived Mike Evans and Chris Godwin specifically missing a decent amount of time last season. And Baker Mayfield still went over this number by 700 yards. We'll play this one to start things out. Over 3,800.5 for Baker Mayfield.
All right, so play it for Nick. I have some fears, some concerns, a little bit about Baker and the Bucs offense, notably Tristan Wirfs. May or may not be ready for the start of the season. Chances are he probably isn't. He had a procedure on his knee. The verbiage coming out of Bucs camp with both Wirfs and Chris Godwin are both a little concerning. The talk with Wirfs, I believe the phrase was, an excellent job. He's doing an excellent job in his recovery process there is what they said about him. Chris Godwin had that massive ankle injury. They're saying he's exactly where the team hoped he would be in his recovery. So Again, that's not really saying he will be ready for week one. He will be ready for week four, week five, whatever. This is a dangerous time for fantasy players and bettors alike, especially with trying to deal with futures a little bit there. I would be a little hesitant to invest in Chris Godwin because of the uncertainty there. And that's the only thing that might drag down Baker Mayfield just a little bit. Let's move on. Let's move on to our next one here. No rookie has more helium right now than Pats running back Travion Henderson. Starting to see him go regularly in the fourth round of drafts, occasionally even as early as the third round, and in one instance, the second round in a draft that we saw the other day. Our prop that in question with Travion Henderson, over 700.5 rushing yards. It's set at -110. Nick Wendland, play it or pass it.
Yeah, well, I'll first start by issuing a disclaimer here that do not take Travion Henderson with the 18th overall pick in your fantasy draft. That has happened. We have not been able to identify the perpetrator in this situation. That is way too early. But like you said, he's getting a ton of steam right now. And I think we are forgetting that Ramondre Stevenson is going to have a role in this backfield. The question is, you know, can Travion Henderson grab this job early in the season, and by week four, week five, you know, this is his backfield. Either way, this is a low enough number, Jeff, that I think I am interested at 700.5, reasonable price at -110. Over the last five seasons, we've seen 19 rookie running backs go over this number, so about four per year. Did have just two last season, Bucky Irving and Tyrone Tracy being the other. 31 players overall went over this number in 2025, a couple of quarterbacks in there, but roughly one per team. Again, it's a low enough number that I think we have to consider it. I'm going to be curious to see what that split is between Henderson and Stevenson early in the season, but there are some concerns with Ramondre Stevenson, both in terms of health right now, the fumble issues that showed up last year. I don't think Mike Vrabel is going to tolerate any fumble issues from Ramondre Stevenson. So there's a world in which he kind of plays himself out of this job as opposed to Henderson grabbing it. But look, as long as Henderson stays healthy, even if this is a relatively even split for a good chunk of the season, he has the explosiveness to rip off long runs. I think he has a really good chance to end up grabbing this job as the season goes along. Let's say he plays 15 games, Jeff. We'll give him two missed games. He'd need about 46, 47 yards per game to get there. That's basically what Tank Bigsby did last season. Tank Bigsby went over this number as a rookie, running behind a terrible offensive line in Jacksonville and a terrible overall offense, starting the year as the backup to Travis Etienne. We're playing it over 700.5 for Travion Henderson.
All right. I like it. I like hearing it there. I do need to get some Travion Henderson on one of my teams, but man, I hate, maybe I have to do it in an auction league as opposed to a draft league with the price going up there. Or maybe make, you know, the thing is you want to make sure you get in a PPR league too, by the way, for that matter. Malik Nabers sat out the joint practice today for the Giants. We're going to talk about his player prop. Over 1,150.5 receiving yards, -115. Nick Wendland, play it or pass it?
This is going to be a pass for me, Jeff. I absolutely love Malik Nabers, an incredible player, incredible athlete. You know, finished last season at over 1,200 yards in just 15 games. So obviously there's a path to him doing that again. It was just over 80 yards per game on the season. If you prorate that to 17 games, he would have been on pace for about 1,365 yards. But do we trust Malik Nabers to play at least 15, 16, maybe 17 games? I don't think I do, right? He's managing a toe injury right now, something that dates all the way back to his days in college at LSU. It was an issue last season. He's also dealing with a shoulder injury. That's really where the concern lies for me. I'm not that concerned about the quarterback situation. Maybe I should be more concerned because it's not a great QB room with the New York Giants. We'll see, you know, if we get any Jackson Dart later in the season. But, you know, Nabers put up an elite rookie year with Daniel Jones, Drew Lock, and Tommy DeVito throwing him the ball. So there's a pretty reasonable baseline here in terms of the quarterback play. But again, the injuries are the concern. The schedule is not very friendly for the New York Giants. And look, if that toe injury crops up at any point, I don't think this is going to be a team that, you know, when they're sitting there at like 2-8 through 10 games, that they're not going to push Malik Nabers through that situation. So there are a lot of complicating factors with the New York Giants, but this is not one that I would confidently play.
I share your opinion. And I think I'm going to downgrade him in my rankings because of this as well. I don't like doing that there because I love his skills. Yeah. I absolutely love Malik Nabers' skill set there. George Pickens, new franchise, new team, the Dallas Cowboys, better quarterback for the first time in his career. Over 5.5 receiving touchdowns, +100. Play it or pass it.
A great pull. A great pull by Michael Cohen. I love this one. Give me the over 5.5, especially at plus money. you know, George Pickens had 3 touchdowns last season for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But you look at some of the advanced numbers, the expected touchdowns versus the actual touchdowns, the numbers would say he should have come in closer to 7 or 8. And look, I think he is in a significantly better fantasy situation, even though he's now the clear number 2 to CeeDee Lamb. This is going to be one of the highest volume passing games in the NFL. The running back room is a possible disaster. The O-line is a major question mark. You look at the last 2 years that Dak Prescott stayed healthy, the Cowboys ranked 2nd and 3rd in total passing yards. Even last year with Dak missing more than half of the season, they were 11th in total passing yards, 3rd in attempts. So they know the blueprint to hang in games because they're not going to be able to run the ball. I think the defense is going to be shaky. This is going to be a team that has to air it out. Pickens only drew 16 red zone targets last season, caught only 7 of those, which is a brutally low number for that sample. All 3 of his touchdowns came in the red zone. Didn't even catch his first touchdown until week 7. That's when Russell Wilson stepped in for Justin Fields. So I think this is going to be a much better situation for him. 2 years ago with a healthy Dak, Dallas led the NFL with 71 red zone drives, 31 more than the Steelers had.
It's pretty stark note there. CeeDee Lamb, not a big end zone, red zone sort of guy either for that matter. I although sometimes that's happenstance, but Jake Ferguson's already banged up with that back injury too. Yeah, I love this Pickens prop. I think it's, you know, we'll be in Vegas next week. I'll probably bet it. I like it that much. So we'll rate this prop. It's a 4.5. I like it a lot.
Oh, yeah. That Buffalo Bills. I'll say it.
All right. There you go. There you go. Making history. We're not even trying to. All right. Let's talk a little Buffalo Bills real quick. They have the most regular season wins, plus 350 player to pass it. I need your 30-second answer on this one here.
Yeah, I think they're the favorite for a reason. It's a combination of talent, having maybe the best quarterback in the NFL and one of the best schedules in the NFL. So I'll play this one at plus 350. You know, they have the 5th easiest schedule in the NFL on paper, should be able to run through that division. They won 13 games a year ago, despite just punting on week 18, easily could have gotten to 14 if they wanted to. If you want to look elsewhere, if you don't like the price, the Niners at 12-1 would be my other choice.
All right. I like it there. The NFL season is almost here and VSiN is on the clock. Today at 4 p.m. Eastern, 10 of your favorite hosts go head-to-head in the 2025 VSiN Pro Football Futures Draft, battling to lock in the best season-long NFL props before the odds shift. 10 rounds, 100 sharp plays, and endless ways to attack the NFL board. Catch all the action live on VSiN tonight at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Will that George Pickens prop be on there? Find out. 4 p.m. Eastern time for that prop draft here. Excited about that. Coming up next, Len Hochberg is going to join us on the Progressive Guest Line, help us preview the BMW Championships. This is Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here with Nick Whalen from RotoWire.com. It is playoff time in the PGA. Who better to talk about that than with our friend Len Hochberg from RotoWire.com, talking about the BMW Championship. It's at Cades Valley Golf Club. And let's start there, Len. Welcome. Hi. This is basically a new template for us here. Just the second time we've had a tournament at this course.
Yeah, Jeff, Nick, good to be with you. We did see the course 4 years ago in 2021, the BMW Championship, the BMW rotating courses every year. And we saw Patrick Cantlay defeat Bryson DeChambeau in a playoff at 27 under. They went wild. The scoring was off the charts. But since then, the course has undergone a major, major overhaul. Virtually every piece of grass, every blade of grass has been changed. The greens have been modified. There's a sub-air system. The greens are a lot firmer. There's a lot different about this course. And one of the key things I was looking for in to determine how this course would play was the over-under. And Jeff Sherman, GolfOdds.com out of Vegas, always has really spot-on numbers all the way down to 17.5. So I think the course is going to play a lot harder. There was also a lot of rain 4 years ago, a lot of softer conditions. That helped scoring. Not so much this year. So it will be interesting to see what happens. but it's still a super, super long course, only a par 70, down from a par 72, 7,600 yards, one of the longest courses of the season, and easily the longest par 70 we've seen all year. So definitely the longer hitters are going to have an advantage.
So, Len, given those changes, given the length of the course that you just told us about, are there any golfers who immediately, you know, skyrocket up your rankings because they fit that mold, or any golfers who you're crossing off and saying, I don't think they're the right horse for the course?
Yeah, I think the longer hitters are just going to have an advantage this week. You know, when the course is super long, the fairways tend to be wide, and they are going to be wide. Maybe not as wide as they were 4 years ago. But, you know, I mean, Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy at the top of the list, both super long hitters and super everything guys. Some of the shorter hitters are going to be really disadvantaged. It's going to be very hard for them to get into the top 50, into the top 30 for next week if they're not already there. So definitely the longer hitters have an advantage.
Once again, the betting favorite is Scottie Scheffler, plus 225 to, you know, for winning odds. I can't get past the Scheffler odds every time I see them. They're almost every tournament. DraftKings, he's being priced at 13,400. Seven players and five figures at DraftKings on that, and that's because of the small field. What's your reaction to the Scheffler price?
I think it's a fair price. I think it's an accurate price. But when I tried and started to try and build a six-man lineup with Scottie Scheffler in there, it was very hard, and I did not go that way, and we'll see whether that comes back to burn me. Even if he wins, you could still win with six other guys. But it was really hard. As you mentioned, seven guys in the 10,000. So the prices are skewed much higher than we normally see. There aren't a ton of guys in the 6,000s. There aren't a lot of guys in the 6,000s I like. I'm sort of forced to pick a couple at least every week, and I did this week. But I did not have a lineup with Scottie Scheffler, despite that being a very fair and applicable price.
We're talking with Len Hochberg, our golf betting and DFS expert over at rotowire.com, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. Len, we get Rory McIlroy back in the field this week. As usual, you have the Scottie tier, you have the Rory tier, and then you have everybody else. Rory comes in plus 750 to win the tournament. Then you see a jump down to Xander at 18-1, Tommy Fleetwood 20-1. Well, we just asked you what you made of the price on Scottie Scheffler, plus 750 for Rory. Does that seem fair?
It does. It does. And I think the winner is going to come from up on high in these playoff events. Very rarely does someone out of the top 10 or 15 in the world, you know, burst through. It does happen here and there. So I expect, you know, the usual suspects to be up there. The guy I'm looking at most and that are in the top tier in the five figure guys on DraftKings is Ludvig Åberg. He's 10,200 at the very bottom, toward the bottom of that top tier. So that's more than $3,000. That's $3,200 less than Scottie Scheffler. That's another half a golfer. You can only start five and a half golfers with Scheffler and six with Åberg. He's not had the greatest year, but the last 2 months since right around after the Memorial in early June, he has just been playing fantastic golf. He had a top 10 last week. His numbers have improved so incredibly strong, and it's hard to do late in the season. He's moved up about 50 spots in strokes gained approach, greens in regulation, about 40 spots in strokes gained putting. That's hard to do. This isn't April where you can go from 280 to 320 with two good games, you know, in baseball. You know, it's August. It's hard. And yet he has. So it was really, he popped for me this week.
A lot of spotlight on Patrick Cantlay this week. He's 25-1 to win the tournament, plus 450 to be a top five. But he's also not in yet for the Ryder Cup. He is not an automatic qualifier. He has kind of had a mid, as the kids like to say, year. Never quite, you know, always around, but never really making a big run at contention. What are your thoughts on Cantlay, both for this tournament and also for the Ryder Cup?
Yeah, I think you put it well. He's definitely mid. And, you know, 4 years ago when he was here and he won, he set a record. He gained on the greens. He gained more than 14 and a half shots on the field in greens. That's a record in the shot link area going back two decades now. Just an incredible performance. The greens are different now. Patrick Cantlay is different. You're right. He's just been playing okay, pretty well. I think he's going to, I don't really like his chances this week. I mean, if you finish top 15 or so in a field of 50 or technically 49 this week, it's not, you know, something great. But I think he will be on the Ryder Cup team. You know, he is such a passionate guy and he's such a lightning rod for the Euros and the fans will get going and he doesn't wear his hat and all of that stuff. And, you know, the United States needs these guys on the team. They don't have too many. They don't have these passionate guys like a lot of the Euros do. So I'm pretty sure even though he's not going to qualify on points that he will be a Keegan Bradley captain's pick.
Len, a little bit further down the board, I know you have some level of interest in both Cam Young and Ben Griffin this weekend.
Yeah, I do like a lot of guys in the nines. I only pick two. I can't pick everybody. This is a small field. And, you know, you pointed out a few weeks ago, which was great, that just because a guy isn't in the article doesn't mean I like him, but we have to draw the line somewhere. Like, for instance, JJ Spaun, I liked him last week, came so close for us last week. But Cam Young, what I really liked about him was coming off his win at the Wyndham. It's very hard to recalibrate, to recenter yourself 4 days later after you have this life-altering first big win on the PGA Tour, first win on the PGA Tour. And yet he came back and he was fifth last week at the playoff event. This course, I think, is a much better fit. Wider fairways, that's kind of him, you know, off the tee, lets it fly, doesn't really know where it's going, but he will have that advantage this week with wider fairways. Great putter. Ben Griffin, I want Ben Griffin also in the nines because he is the cheapest guy in the nine. So a little bit more bang for your buck there. He had a little bit of a stumble about a month ago where he missed a couple of cuts, playing a ton of tournaments. He's taken a little rest. He's really been a great, great golfer this year. He's also going to be on the Ryder Cup team.
Len, if we're talking earlier about how there's seven guys in the five digits for DraftKings here, it means we have to find some cheapies too. I know you had a hard time fitting in Scotty in doing that there, but who are some of the cheap guys that we can use for some of the other high-priced players?
Well, jumping down into the sevens, Kurt Kitayama, I think he's going to be a very, very popular play at only 7,600. He could fit into every lineup, but he's been great. He's been had a terrible season, but he came back and he won a few weeks ago. He's had most of his top tens on the season. He's had only four, and he's had all season and three of them recently. He's going to be a very popular play. And Taylor Pendrith at 72, if you want to pivot off Kurt Kitayama because he is going to be highly owned, $400 cheaper. Taylor Pendrith hits the ball a ton. Really good greens and regulation guy. Not much of a putter. In the sixes, Brian Harman at 6,900. It's going to be hard for him being a shorter hitter, but he does everything else pretty well. And a real, real major dart throw all the way down at 6,100. We don't have a cut to worry about this week. Jonathan Vegas, just a great, great ball striker. Played pretty well last week. 6,100. You can get him. You might have to go with him with a Scottie Scheffler in your lineup. He's been playing pretty well at a very cheap price.
Len, excellent stuff as always, man. Appreciate the time. Best of luck this weekend, and we will talk to you again soon.
Thanks, guys.
Folks, the season's biggest edges start before kickoff. You can get yours with VSiN Pro. Right now, new subscribers get both the NFL and college football betting guides, your 1-2 punch for smart betting. These guides are packed with team previews, power ratings, betting systems, and all the best bets from VSiN's top analysts. And that's just the start. You also get daily best bet emails from hosts and their guests, real-time betting splits and market insights, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, plus access to all the tools and data over at VSiN.com. You can sign up today for just $9.99 or save 50% with the VSiN Pro annual plan. Go do that at VSiN.com/subscribe. Best bets in baseball coming your way next on Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nick Whale and Jeff Erickson back with you. It's Prop Points here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're taking you up to the top of the hour. Make it rain with Keith Irizarry stepping in for Adam Schein today. That's coming up next. He's going to have Eagles insider Dave Spadaro joining the show, talking some Philadelphia Eagles insights. The 2025 VSiN Pro Football Futures Draft coming up at 4 p.m. Eastern. Mitch Moss, Paulie Howard We'll be taking you through that one. VSiN Primetime with Scott Seidenberg starting up at 7 p.m. Eastern tonight. So packed schedule as always. Make sure you check out that VSiN Pro Football Futures Draft. Jeff, busy day once again in Major League Baseball. We got a handful of games ongoing right now. Not a ton of action early on. Tigers White Sox 0-0 as we head to the bottom of the third. Just finished the bottom of the second in Milwaukee. Andrew Vaughn stranded on second base, 0-0 between the Pirates and the Brewers. Nice start for Mitch Keller. The one game where we do have runs, Nationals jumping on Seth Lugo early in this one. They're up 5-2 on the Royals. All five of those runs coming in the first inning. We're in the bottom of the second out in St. Louis. Nothing between the Cardinals and the Rockies. And just underway in Arlington, Rangers Diamondbacks also 0-0. Before we get to some of your plays for tonight's games, of course, our G-Bank best bets of the night to finish out the show. Got some big news in the NL West, Jeff. Very quietly, the Dodgers have now lost 3 in a row. The Padres have won 4 in a row, going for 5 in a game that starts up in about an hour. And all of a sudden, these two teams tied atop the NL West standings and still seeing the Dodgers as sizable favorites to pull away and win the division. Of course, much better World Series odds for the Dodgers, but what is your take here, Jeff? Should this be a little bit closer, this race?
This should be a bigger deal than it is, too. I think because it's West Coast, because it happened late last night, you know, people might not have been like trumpeting this much like they have been the great Milwaukee Brewers. I understand major media market bias in favor of the Brewers here. But the Padres, they're hot right now. They played some tough opponents while doing so. They finished a series against the Red Sox over the weekend, for instance, there. The Dodgers, they're 0-5 against the Angels. Their pitching is a real problem, and their bullpen is a real problem, too. The one pitcher they traded for at the deadline, Brock Stewart, just went on the IL. They've given up more bullpen home runs than anyone in baseball, and some of that is because they have a lot of bulk relievers. But the real story here is they haven't been getting the length from their starting pitching. It's a problem. They're 22nd in starting pitching innings in the last 30 days. It's worse over the course of the season. San Diego's on fire right now, too. Hitting stats, 331 WOBA, 7th in baseball in the last 30 days, 116 WRC+. That accounts for park effects. Obviously, Petco, a tough place to hit in there. They're 5th in baseball in WRC+. They don't strike out, 16.9% K percentage. Only the Blue Jays strike out less than the Padres do. That's especially true right now. The Dodgers, they're not bad, actually. Right now, in terms of like their pitching stats, 3.56 ERA in the last 30 days is 7th. But compare that to the Padres, 3.30, second behind your Brewers, Nick, in terms of just pitching ERA over the last 30 days. They don't allow home runs, only 0.89 homers per 9 innings, second behind Cincinnati. You know, if you're doing bar bets on home runs based on the last 30 days, maybe you'd win a bar bet there by saying Cincinnati. Be an odd thing to bet on, but you know. And anyways, they've been on fire. Yet. And you mentioned the odds are still heavily favored and slanted towards the Dodgers. They're still -240 to win the West. The Padres are +175 for the World Series. LA, still the overall favorite. They've shown a lot of flaws lately, but they're still comfortably the favorite. +350 at DraftKings. Mm-hmm. I think the second lowest is Philly at +550. Everybody else is 800 or higher. I think LA is closer to the pack than those odds indicate there. San Diego, on the other hand, is +1,200, ninth highest odds to win the World Series.
Well, we'll see if the Dodgers can get things turned around tonight. Another game against the Angels. But those Padres continue a series against the Giants. They're in San Francisco. Do have the Padres as fairly hefty favorites on the money line. Total coming in at 8 here. Nick Pivetta taking on Kai-Wei Tang, Jeff, making just his second major league start.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why the Padres are a road favorite. Although, honestly, I think they should be favored. I thought they should have been favored in many cases. Anyhow, we actually profited off of that on Monday when we had Yu Darvish versus Webb, where the Giants were a favorite. We got the better team at plus money. That's always nice. We don't have that today. Pivetta's coming off of his worst start since June 4th, gave up 5 earned runs. Notably, that June 4th start, though, was against the Giants at San Francisco. So maybe there's a little something to that there. So I'm going to watch Pivetta worse on the road than at home, as almost every San Diego pitcher is. But still, his road stats are still 367 ERA, 114 whip. I'm going to focus less on the money line and more on trying to attack Kai-Wei Tang. I think he's a stopgap starter, so it's nothing wrong with him, but he's just not a great pitcher. consistently high walk rate in the minors. He followed that up so far with four walks and eight and a third innings so far in his two outings at the big league level there. Scoring is also consistently higher in day games in San Francisco. At night, it's really tough to score there. We're going to attack Tang two different ways. The over 1.5 walks at minus 155. As always, shop around, see if you can get a better price. But also earned runs, over 2.5 earned runs. We're getting plus money at that at plus 115. So, hey, I'm backing the Padres offense for this outing against the stopgap starter.
We do have one quick score update, a couple runs on the board for the St. Louis Cardinals. They now lead the Rockies 2-0 heading into the top of the third. Pedro Pájez with a two-run double in the bottom of the second. Jeff, a big interleague series going on right now. Cubs-Blue Jays in Toronto. We have the Blue Jays as roughly minus 135 favorites on the money line. 8.5 is our total. Cade Horton going up against Kevin Gausman. We just attacked a pitcher in the first game. We're doing the same here, it looks like.
Yeah, less aggressively, but yeah. Cade Horton's having a pretty decent year. 3.18 ERA, 1.22 whip. You know, and in fact, there was some talk that, you know, the Cubs rejected the inclusion of Horton in trade talks for Joe Ryan and Mackenzie Gore. If so, I think that's kind of bonkers because I don't think Horton is that sort of level of pitcher as those guys, especially Joe Ryan. So I think it's Horton plus what else is really the question there. But I think some regression is coming with Horton. 18% K percentage, 283 BABIP. This is the type of pitcher that faces a good lineup is going to be in trouble. And Toronto is certainly a good lineup. We've seen this lately. It's even a higher, it's even more stark over the last 30 games. 387 WOBA, 151 WRC+. Both tops in baseball, significantly so in both categories there. And yet, you know, you look at the Blue Jays, and their World Series odds are a little longer than you expect from their record and the recent play. They're on par with the Yankees at plus 1,200. I think that's just crazy talk. I think the Red Sox are a better team than the Yankees, and they're getting way a higher price there. We'll talk about that next. But I think that's the Blue Jays get to Horton. I think he's exactly the type of pitcher the Blue Jays will be very effective against. I like the over 2.5 earned runs at plus 105. I like the under 3.5 strikeouts for Horton, minus 140 over at BetMGM. That price on DraftKings and FanDuel is higher. It's in the 150s, 160s. So again, looking when you do these player props, shop around if you have the ability to do so.
All right, let's hit one more game real quickly, Jeff. Sox Astros, Walker Buehler going up against Hunter Brown. How are you attacking this one?
I'm attacking Walker Buehler here, but a quick note before we talk about the bet. Boston's World Series odds at DraftKings are minus 2,500. I think, compare that to the Yankees. I think they're a better team than the Yankees. The Yankees are at 1,100. There's a disconnect there. Got to find a way to arbitrage that somehow. Buehler is coming off one of his better outings, shut down the Padres last time out. But he hasn't had more than four strikeouts in a game since June 11th. Houston doesn't strike out much, 24th in K percentage, 20.2%. Yet the over-under on his strikeouts today is 4.5. You can find it at minus 128 at Bet Rivers, taking the under 4.5 strikeouts for Walker Buehler.
It's time for our best bets of the night. They're brought to you, as always, by GBank. You can get the GBank Visa Signature Card right now, built with sports bettors in mind. Most credit cards treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances, even when you're using your own money, but not GBank. GBank treats them as regular purchases. That means no cash advance fees, saving you 3 to 5% on every deposit. Plus, you'll get 1% cash back on all eligible sportsbook and gaming transactions, and you get 2% cash back on everything else you buy. Apply now over at VSIN.com/GBank, VSIN.com/GBank. Best bet of the night, Jeff. Where are we going?
We're going Walker Buehler, the under 4.5 Ks at Bet Rivers, minus 128.
All right, there we have it. I'm looking at Twins Yankees. I'm going under 8.5 tonight. Yankees have been a big home under team this season. Twins, a big road under team, both at about 56% to the under in those situations. Got Cam Schlittler on the hill for the Yankees. Not great, but hasn't been as bad, maybe as you would think, coming off a nice outing against the Houston Astros. Joe Ryan on the hill for the Twins, a 2.3 ERA over his last eight starts. Did have one semi-blow up in there, but he's allowed two or fewer earned runs in seven of those last eight starts. We're going under 8.5 in Twins Yankees. We'll be back with you tomorrow afternoon talking all things NFL and Major League Baseball. Keep it right here on the Sports Betting Network. Make it rain. Keith Irizarry coming your way next.